This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
And this is the Saturday Spectacular, Whitey Cleese and Nash Solomon and Tommy Call. First of all, let me just say, both of you gentlemen, I use the term loosely, of course, you have excellent radio names. Those are your real names, right?
These are our real names.
Yeah, and Tommy Call.
It is my real name, but I like to feel bigger about myself, and I tell people it's a fake name.
Oh, okay.
You got to put the script on something.
What is then your fake real name?
Man, I haven't thought that up
yet.
I'm going to go Nash Gleason. That's what I'm going to go by.
How was Mobile, Alabama?
It's an experience,
man. How are the Uber drivers there?
It's wild. Wild.
Conversations off air that are making their way to the
airways. It's an interesting experience. Obviously, going to the Senior Bowl is a blast. It's my second year out there. But it's a really good networking, getting to meet a lot of people in the industry. It's a who's who of the NFL out there. And then getting experience, you know, I'm a Bay Area born and raised kid out in the South, you know, South Alabama, even, you know, along the coast there. And it's an interesting experience, man. It's really fun. It's a blast, though.
Okay, then first things first, Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Tommy Call needs a fake real name.
Fake real name.
Yeah. So we'll see what we can come up with there. Nash Solomon, how excited are you about, okay, you know, the Senior Bowl is one thing at the Pro Bowl. We got a giant Super Bowl coming up. What are we, 8-9 days away now?
Well, first and foremost, I'm excited to be with you guys because I told you the other day, Whitey, this is 2.5 men here.
Because
we got the two gentlemen sitting across from me. I'm the half over
that's
here.
That's a great name.
I'm half the size of you guys. I'm 22 years old. I'm the young buck in the room. I'm excited for the Super Bowl. Me and Tommy, you know, we're diehard football guys, Whitey. We do the post-game show. Every time you're on it, you would have thought we were the biggest Niner fans in the world, and we're really just football guys. I'm excited to see the Super Bowl because I really think we got the best possible matchup, the best possible outcome of the teams remaining. You got the high-potent octane offense versus one of the most dominant defenses we've maybe seen in the entire 2000s, right?
Yeah. You guys, before the season started, I'm assuming you made Super Bowl picks. Let's come clean here. Did you have – who were your –
I had the Niners going 6-10.
Yeah.
My Super Bowl pick, I believe, was Saints-Patriots.
I had Ravens Eagles as my as my Super Bowl pick.
You like doing those weird picks though.
You got to go off the board a little bit. You got to go off the board, and right. I was on the Ravens big time. But I definitely did not have the pick. I did not have the Rams. Rams 49ers in the Super Bowl. In the playoffs, even for that matter. I think I had them around that like 6 wins, if not less than that, just because their schedule stacked up. I mean, it's impressive. That's why it's. When you talk about this team, I think it's easy to be called like a homer or you go, you're a big 49er fan, but really, what can you say bad about this team at this point?
It's one of the most complete teams we've seen in years.
They just mowed down people and done it in different ways. And on the grand stage, you know, in these primetime games, in the playoffs, they've been even more impressive than what we could possibly imagine them as. So it's really hard to say anything bad at this point.
Tommy Call, Nash Solomon, and I'm Whitey Gleason. Would you like your first suggestion for a fake real name?
Let's hear it.
Thomas Collins.
That is a good one.
But that
sounds like a sophisticated man right there.
It's not radio-esque enough, right? There needs to be like some humorous.
No, that's what we're saying. Like, I go by Tommy Call on the radio, but then just to make myself like sound like
real
big time, like I'm going to sound like a radio guy if I say, nah, it's a fake.
So name. I'm like Nate Salmons.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, or John Salmons.
Yeah, John Salmons. Brother of John Salmons.
So which stories this week really piqued your interest the most here? I was fascinated by this story that, according to Bleacher Report and Mike Freeman, 3 assistant coaches and 2 NFL executives all thought the Chiefs were going to blow out the 49ers. And I know that anything could happen, but I'm flabbergasted by that there's some sort of consensus. Mike Freeman would have us believe there's some sort of consensus that the Chiefs are going to blow out the 49ers.
Well, how often do we see blowouts in the Super Bowl? We obviously had the Seattle and the Denver one year, but that started with a Peyton turnover. I can't remember how often it happens where there's 2 possession leads in a Super Bowl and the game ends that way. We've actually seen the Patriots down twice, down 10 to Seattle, down 25 to Atlanta, the infamous Kyle Shanahan Super Bowl. I mean, those don't happen often. I don't see this game being a blowout, one, for that reason, and two, just the fact that, sure, this Kansas City offense is ridiculous, one of the most potent offenses we've seen in a long time, but this Niner defense, time and time again, keep proving everybody wrong, and the narrative fits the script. I mean, every single week we keep bringing this up. This team's not ready. This team can't hang with
no,
this.
Exactly.
This team can't do that.
That's exactly what I was thinking. If you're a 49er fan and you listen to that, you should have a little smile. Because what have we learned about the media narrative of this team all year long? You have the guys on the four-letter networks. There's been so many clips. We've been playing them all week about guys saying how bad this team is or how Jimmy Garoppolo can't do it in the big moment and all these things. And every single time, they've been able to flip those guys on their heads, you know, and said, look at this. So I think you hearing stories like that. And honestly, too, if you're a Chiefs executive, or if you're a Chiefs player or something like that, you can't be happy to be hearing that because, again, it's bulletin.
Expectations.
Yeah, and then it's bulletin board material. And one thing we know about the 49ers, Richard Sherman, these guys listen. These guys know type of thing. And it's motivational. It fuels them, I think, to an extent, to a very small level. But any hedge you can get in the Super Bowl, you got to take it.
Well, as far as the predictions go, I asked you guys about your preseason predictions. I did have the Chiefs getting to the Super Bowl, but I had them losing to the Saints. And I had the 49ers getting into the playoffs.
Wow.
But I also had a handful of other teams getting in the playoffs that didn't
make it. I heard Detroit's
one
of the infamous teams.
There's no proof of that.
You got to shoot your shot.
There's no actual proof of that, I hope, that I actually did that. But how about this from an NFC assistant coach? Quote, there is no defense against Patrick Mahomes right now. He's fabulous, but... that's ridiculous.
Do they mean there's no defense that can slow him down by any means?
Right. This, again, is supposedly from one of these coaches who's saying, oh, Chiefs in a blowout.
I just don't get that because maybe the Niners secondary, sure, they played great in recent weeks, but it's more so in the run support game. They've been great tacklers in open field. I mean, they really haven't had to defend the pass, but that's really because this pass rush. I mean, Nick Bosa, DeForest Buckner, all these guys are getting to the quarterback. Pat Mahomes is not a guy that's going to sling it 2 or 3 yards. Andy Reid likes to drop him back. He likes to throw downfield. I mean, there's time for this Niners pass rush to get to him.
Yeah, and I think to an extent, though, I buy a little bit of that because there's a certain pyramid of players that you can say, like, you can have the perfect game script, you can have the perfect defense, and if there's a guy that can drop a bomb on that, it is Patrick Mahomes.
I'm sorry, you buy a little bit of which?
Of what this guy is saying.
Gotcha.
There's no defense for him. I think, you know, you're going to have to see close to a perfect, you know, shutout from the 49ers defense, even just to limit this guy to give their offense a chance. Nash brings up the pass rush and things like that. Well, we've kind of seen this team, the one kind of, you know, hitch to them is how they've handled mobile quarterbacks. Well, what does Patrick Mahomes do so special? It's the backyard game. That's where he really hurts you, where things go off script, where, yeah, he has all these pass rushers in his face, and he spins around and flips around and throws it off his back foot, you know, while he's not looking at a guy, and that's when he really, really hurts you. You're going to have to limit those things. You're going to have to try to think. I think you want him maybe in these five-step drops. You want to contain him. You want to keep him to that blueprint of just what a quarterback is. Where he can hurt you is – on, you know, the stuff that we can't even talk about, that we have no way of explaining because it's just special, and that's what makes Pat Mahomes this guy.
Chilton Autobody, text line 95795 from the 707. And by the way, when I'm here, put your name on it. When you text us, put your name on it. Go a little Herm Edwards here, but from the 707.
Hello?
Yeah, this guy Nate is showing his age. Forever in the 80s and 90s, the Super Bowl was a blowout. Yeah, way back when.
Three or four decades ago, we're not.
Nate over
it's
there.
Nash, by the way.
Yeah, Solomon. Super Bowls used to be blowouts every year, and thank goodness they're not anymore, typically.
And that's like me saying in the NBA, whoa, we gotta draft the big that can put his back to the basket.
There you go, exactly.
You gotta do that.
Yeah.
I must say, though, the 707 taps in a lot, Whitey, when Tommy's here. He's the 707
really?
Ambassador. Now, you're also from the 707.
707,
Vallejo,
right? The seat of all knowledge and wisdom.
The Valley Joe, baby.
Wow,
yeah.
Say it backwards.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Say it backwards. 707 out of
the
way.
Yeah, so you're Vallejo?
Yes, sir.
Oh, so that's kind of like a little bit different peaks of the 7. We got it all covered here.
And
today.
Where are you from?
Santa Rosa.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. How much do you think the 49ers are going to end up blitzing? I've read it suggested they're going to have to bring some delayed blitzes. I was had the pleasure of being on the Butcher Shop a couple nights ago, and Joe Shasky saying they don't want to blitz, then they don't have to.
I think he's wrong.
Really?
I think you have to blitz.
Why? Why would you change the script at this point of what works? They rush for, they have guys. I think the delayed blitz idea is coming from Fred Warner. I think Fred Warner's done that really well. Well, that was without guys like Kwan and without guys like D Ford on the field. That those two guys alone bring you a ton of speed where I don't think they were trying to find unique ways to get to the quarterback, and that might be the delayed blitz. But right now, everybody's healthy.
Well,
right?
Here's why.
You have Jaquaski Tart. I don't think you need – just stay to the script. This is one of the best defenses for a reason. It's not a fluke that why they're here in the Super Bowl. A big part of that is because of one of the best – there are one of the best defenses, and it's because they haven't had the blitz. They get pressure with four.
But it also goes to your point, there's no defense for Pat Mahomes, right?
Yeah.
So you almost want to change that up. The most dominant offense that this Niner team has played all year was the Saints. And how did that game result in? A shootout. You don't want to get in a shootout in the Super Bowl with Pat Mahomes. You will lose if you get in a shootout. You have to do everything in your power to slow Pat down. How you slow a quarterback down like that is pressure. I mean, is that not?
No, there's one other way. There's one other way, obviously, and that is
Mike Florio.
Keep his well, there's that too, but I was going, you keep his behind on the sidelines enjoying his ketchup while you're running the ball down their throats.
Yeah,
right?
No, that's a great point. That's a great point. I just think that the 49ers, like, it's not like they can, the only way they can get to Pat Mahomes is if they blitz.
But maybe,
that's
maybe
not
show
them.
It a little bit more than often, right?
I don't know. I don't know unless you're saying let's throw the guard, like, unless Robert Saleh is right now saying I've had these blitz packages in my back pocket that I know are going to be super successful, but I haven't had to use them yet all season.
To me right now, you guys tell me if you disagree, to me the notion of the 49ers blitzing would be, that would be a sign that, uh-oh, something's not working.
To me, it's a sign that your secondary is not as good as they've looked in recent weeks. And they've looked good because they haven't had to defend the pass, really. And that starts up front. I mean, now maybe they can get to Mahomes like they did with Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins, sure. But, I mean, things are going to be a little different. I mean, it's not really so much about Pat Mahomes in this game for me. It's really this Kansas City receiving core. Do you want to trust these guys lining up with speed? Like, McCole Hardman, sure. Maybe not the most fantastic receiver, still
yeah,
a young
like
buck.
4'2" type
exactly.
of guy. Yeah.
It's like the Taylor Gabriel with the Falcons. He wasn't much for them that year, but going into that Super Bowl, that was a big story. How do the Patriots defend this guy?
And hopefully it is pressure, because you don't want to let these long routes develop downfield. I think that's why it's important that you have guys dropped into coverage. And I think it starts with, you know, even in the middle, because you want to cut out Travis Kelce. And that's why you have Kwon Alexander, Fred Warner, hopefully guarding those guys instead of on blitzes, if that makes sense.
I read something a couple days ago that really resonated with me, and that is Sammy Watkins, no matter what you think of him, he's the Chiefs' third best receiver. That's pretty good.
And what is he, 4.3 speed still too?
Yeah.
Pretty good. This is a guy that's close to a number one last year in the Super Bowl, right? Was he with the Rams last year?
I think he was already gone by the Super Bowl, no?
I can't
Maybe remember. I'm incorrect. Yeah. The thing, though, that helps the Niners, too, is Tommy's talked about this a lot, and he's done a great job pointing this out. Their linebacker core is phenomenal in the pass coverage. Now, I don't know if we're going to see a lot more zone schemes. I don't know how you play man-to-man with this team. I know they love playing, cover three released. Sherman's going to be up close, and he's going to bail. But, I mean, at the end of the day, cover three still is almost like man-to-man coverage, right? Tyreek Hill, if he lines up on the outside, you're probably going to pick on Richard Sherman. Now, at the end of the day, do you want to pick on a guy like Richard Sherman? He loves those big moments. But the beauty in this for the Chiefs is it's not just about Tyreek Hill. It's McCole Hardman. It's Sammy Watkins. Even Pringle, that dude can run lights out speed.
DeMarcus Robinson.
Yeah. They're going to show a lot of different looks. And I think Andy Reid is finally going to show more than he's wanted to all year long.
Nash, I think that's a great point you raise as far as, well, they're in a zone, a cover three, but sometimes you're playing man-to-man. Anytime you're playing a zone in any sport, if there's someone in your zone, you're playing man-to-man on him, basically, while he's in your
zone.
Yeah. On the Chilton Autobody text line, San Francisco has been weak against speed on the outside, which will bring the linebackers back, giving room to Kelce underneath. Also, the run should be a great matchup. Blowout isn't happening. That's Troy from Santa Rosa.
Appreciate that. By the way, the 5-0 with the assist. This is Watkins' second and last year with the Chiefs. They're letting him go after this year.
Yeah, Joe got in my ear on that one. Yeah, so he was with the Chiefs last two seasons.
Yeah. I mean, and the Rams probably could have used them last year in that Super Bowl.
Yeah. I think that's the thing, though, that texter brings up something interesting about keeping it in front, opening up the middle of the field. I feel like the Chiefs are a really good team. They're a spectacular offense. If you're a 49er fan, you're heading into this game saying, we're going to shut them down. I think you kind of have to look at it. Well, you take what they're going to give up.
Yeah.
And if you're the 49ers, you say, hey, right now I'm going to tell you this is going to be the game plan. we're going to limit the outside stuff, and we're going to take away, hopefully, Tyreek Hill or the big explosive plays. But that means Travis Kelce's going to eat in the middle, and maybe it's going to hurt in the run game a little bit. You probably take that every day, right?
Yeah. I think one of the interesting aspects of this game, and I'm not saying this is an insurmountable problem, but the last two games for the 49ers, they played teams in the Vikings and Packers that want to establish the run, right?
Yeah.
And the Chiefs don't – I mean, they'd like to run the ball, but they're not really that concerned with that.
No doubt.
No, but Damian Williams has played a lot better in recent weeks. They've kind of established the ground game a little more. I mean, I think that's really a key for the Super Bowl, right? If the Chiefs can find a way to run the ball, I mean, that has to be the death of the Niners, right?
It's scary. It's scary for sure. It's scary.
You got to think, like, maybe the run game is going to be very vulnerable for this Niners defense because they're so worried about Pat Mahomes and company.
Don't you guys think it's funny? So we've spent the last, 15 minutes or so talking about this game. It's the first thing we want to talk about, and we don't even mention anything of the 49ers offense, right? It kind of tells the story of this game, what we're going to be talking about for the next, 8 days here. It's the 49ers defense versus this Chiefs offense. And I think that's why, if you're just a football fan and you're going to tune into this game, that's why it's so exciting, right? That's why you said this is the perfect matchup. This is what gets us going.
Yeah.
It's because best offense versus best defense. Right now, as I'm talking about, I'm like, wow.
And watch us get the Super Bowl last year. We get a low scoring, boring grudge fest.
No. Thanks again for your participation. 888-957-9570. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. David says the best texts come from the 415. I wouldn't read that except you put his name on it.
Respect.
Yeah, and do you know Matt from Napa? Matt from Napa says, Nash showing your age is solid. Pretty amazing. You have this gig at 22. Good stuff and solid future. Congrats. See, Matt from Napa.
We started off with a little bit of beef. He came at me with a hot shot. Tommy knows when somebody comes at me with some take that I may not agree with, I fire back. I make it a little personal. I don't try to. Yeah, but I appreciate that.
Nash is definitely that guy that we all have those friends where if you're all joking around, you're all joshing.
I take
and
it
he,
serious.
And he gets frustrated with something. He immediately goes for the personal.
No disrespect whatsoever.
It's like, I think I'm not a big Patriots fan. Well, you're ugly. How are those things linked
Whitey,
up?
We all serve our role. I'm the defensive one. I can get a little wound up on the anger side.
Right.
Tommy's the sensitive one. It happens.
Okay. I got you. Yeah,
that should work.
Together. I want you guys for a moment. We're having such a good time here. I hate to go here, but
okay.
Imagine a bleak future with no football. Okay.
Ooh,
football
man.
Has been outlawed. Ooh. There's no future. But you have invented a time machine. You find out about this. You invent a time machine. And you can go into the future and try to save football. But the only thing you can do is take them in the future a recording of a Super Bowl game. And it has to be good enough to convince them in the future that, wow, this game's great. Mm. This is a great game. We need to bring football back. So which Super Bowl are you going with? You're taking into the future to save football.
I'm going the first thing that pops to mind to me, and it was my first Super Bowl I really remember watching and being enthralled with was that the Titans Rams Super Bowl.
Oh yeah,
the goal line. Shout out to
O'Neal.
Yeah, it just that the way that ended the storylines of Kurt Warner coming from basically being a nobody to the top, and then this Titans team being a new team. It was just so. It, to me, I learning of what football was at that age, at that time, I think a lot of people who grew up in the 90s were probably like Titans fans even because of that, because they were just on the big stage at that time in that moment. And it was just such an awesome game.
Yeah, the greatest show on turf.
Yeah.
And I know that Bill Barnwell this week put together a piece on the most surprising Super Bowl teams of all time. And he has the 49ers ranked very high, but he has that Rams team as the biggest surprise
Were
Super Bowl
won?
Team ever. Yeah,
wow.
And part of it is because in their last preseason game, their quarterback blew out his knee.
Yeah,
that's
Trent
right.
Green. It's like, who's oh the guy
there's
that,
there's that quote
the,
like we will ride around Kurt Warner right like that's an awesome
and he
quote
was
yeah
unbelievable
from bagging groceries to Super Bowl.
Torrey Holt was that he wasn't on that team yet, right? He might have been very young on that team. He was out the Senior Bowl. He was alongside the Senate,
chop it up with him,
coaching people up. It was pretty cool to
how
see.
About you, Nash? How are you saving football? What Super Bowl are you taking in the future?
So you first asked me this question before the show, and I had mine in thought. And you mentioned one that I forgot about, so I'd love to hear that from you afterwards, those two in specific. But the one for me has to be, not just because I'm a Patriots fan, but it has to be the Falcons-Patriots Super Bowl. Because it's the whole mantra of Brady. How did he build his whole career? Off coming back in big football games.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Everybody was cheering for their lives for the Falcons to win. Patriots down 25. The whole internet shook. Oh, the dynasty's finally done. And here come Tom Brady. Here come Bill Belichick. And that's really a good way of depicting football.
Mm.
There's no NFL story without those two guys probably in the top five names mentioned, right?
All right, why do you have to ask you, though? So it's funny because I've been kind of toying with it this week of we're in the Super Bowl. Like the media, like this is, we're talking about this. If the 49ers weren't in this game, we'd be talking about like the event that is the Super Bowl. We're talking about, you know, we're doing our power rankings of our favorite dips to have, what commercials we're looking at, our favorite prop bets,
Shakira,
all those types
and J-Lo.
Of, yeah, exactly. Like all of those things factor into what is the Super Bowl,
good
right?
Point. Yeah.
And, but now it's like, we're locked into this game. All those other things. And I've been talking to, you know, 49er friends of mine. I'm like, how are you dealing with this? Cause it's like, you know, we are drinking. You're having your friends over that have watched one football game all year, and it's the Super Bowl.
No,
now I'm probably like, no, I need to be trapped in a room.
Oh,
I'm
absolutely
not watching the commercials. I'm yeah. have my phone off, type of thing. So, does that factor into your Super Bowl decision? Do you want the best halftime show in that game?
I think
so. Do you
so.
Want the best commercials in that
game? In the future, they're going to look at the whole thing.
Exactly.
They're going to make
right?
the decision
the
based
social
on the
media
whole
aspect.
That's a
of
really
it.
Good
yeah.
point.
That's why, whichever, and I think it was Saints Colts, where the Who played at halftime. I'm not sending that to the future.
What about the infamous, you know, ripping the shirt off?
Yeah.
Is that making
Justin
it? Timberlake making it?
That was a Patriots and.
That was one of the first
wardrobe
Patriots.
Malfunction.
What, Eagles, right? Was it Patriots Eagles?
With
Donovan McNabb.
Yeah.
Yeah,
either that
I
or the
so.
Patriots Panthers.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I might send that.
I'm actually interested in asking the audience, hit us up on the text line 95795. If you're a 49er fan, what's the plan for the Super Bowl? Are you having friends over? Are you going to a Super Bowl party? Do you need to watch it at home? Because I think a lot, you know, 49ers, they've been lucky enough to soak up a couple Super Bowls, but like my favorite NFL team in my lifetime's never been to the Super Bowl. So I don't even know how I'd handle that, you
yeah.
know?
You know,
so me personally, obviously being a Patriots fan in our household, my mom always made the rule. A few years we had friends over, then it was after that. No, only Patriot fans allowed in the house.
Yeah.
Unless you're damn near family. But honestly, you don't want randoms in the house. Like, because they're not, if someone's, it's like watching a movie with your friends late at night. Like, if they're not
it's
as
disrespectful
invested,
of them.
Yes. If they're not as invested, then they shouldn't be there.
That's one of the things that drives me crazy about the Super Bowl coverage. Apparently, we had Rich Eisen on yesterday. I got the chance to fill in for Damon. Rich Eisen was on, and he talked about, you know, in the Super Bowl, people watch the Super Bowl. They don't normally watch football, which is fine, except when the announcers cater to those people, and they start to explain, well, here's the story. Jimmy Garoppolo, he used to be on the Patriots. Shut up!
And I don't want to hear them asking me 10 million
questions.
Oh, we're going
to see, like, how many features of on, you know, every network.
Oh, the
Jimmy Garoppolo. What Tom Brady did to prepare him for this moment.
Feels great, baby.
Yeah.
It's you don't want people there that are going to ask you about the sport of football instead of
nothing
the game.
Nothing against them, but they can go and wherever they want and
you
watch the game. Leave me alone and
you should have watched
it.
At least the whole playoffs.
Yes.
Why, what are your games you're taking to the future?
Well, I've always had number one on my Super Bowl list, the Steelers 27, Cardinals 23 in 2009.
Santonio Holmes, the back of the end
zone.
To
me, that's the greatest catch I've ever seen. And I know you can argue a lot of different things, but to me, given the magnitude
another
of the
Kurt
moment.
Warner, right?
Another
Kurt Warner
absolutely.
Moment. Yeah, yeah.
And a
9-17,
the Cardinals were 9-7.
James Harrison's interception going the 100 yards the
and
other
the
way at the end of half.
And the infamous gas mask afterwards because he couldn't breathe.
That has always been my number one. But now I think, and I know you'd appreciate this, Nash, being a Patriots fan, the Patriots over the Seahawks, 28-24, 2015.
That's another good depiction of a real comeback.
Yeah.
I mean, 25-point comebacks don't happen very much. Like, they rarely ever do. But Brady being down 10 going into the fourth, that was like, okay, the stage is here for Tom.
The ending, I think, to play devil's advocate for a lot of football fans, the ending to that was probably like, ugh, what did they just do? You know, the interception at the goal line type of thing. I don't think it was as satisfying, essentially, as a game-winning touchdown would be. So I think a lot of people, even the battle of within the game was exciting, but people at home probably watching that was like, what?
Well,
why did they do that?
To play devil's advocate to that, what I told Whitey was
double devil's
is that allowable, Spadoni? Double devil's advocate?
I announced I was devil's advocate first, okay?
So,
don't step on my territory.
Rebuttal?
Right,
I've actually
never heard that before.
It's just
that's
a response.
Is it a rebuttal? Okay, well, anyways, what I told Whitey was, to the point that you made, I thought it actually is the perfect epitome of football. Defense wins championships. Mm. Malcolm Butler.
That's like what I said with the Titans being stopped. They didn't win the game winning, you know?
Two of the most iconic finishes to a Super Bowl, too. Probably the two.
So, Whitey, Nash and I, when we're on the air, very competitive. What Super Bowl did you like better? Do we have a winner of who picked the better game?
Oh, of you
between,
two?
Between us two, yeah. We like to keep score here.
Not to dodge a question, but I really wasn't paying attention.
Let's hear from the audience.
Yeah.
Well, I'd love to hear the audience's most memorable Super Bowl, or what's the one Super Bowl you would love to use to tell the story.
Yeah, and
the
even
NFL.
If it's not, you know, I'm sure we're going to get a lot of like 49er suggestions and things like that, but sometimes the Super Bowl, it is that random game, you know?
I hope you'll indulge me. I've told this story before, and I apologize if I'm being redundant, but speaking of that Super Bowl, the Rams over the Titans. A couple years later, I was on 95.7 The Game, and Lo Neal was one of our guests, and we actually arranged for Mike Jones to call in anonymously.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Lo's a cool dude, though.
Yeah, when he realized who it was, like, oh, Mike, how you doing?
So, just to add to it, though, one of my favorites from recent memory, and just to take a shot at Nash, too, was the Eagles. The Eagles win in the Super Bowl. I mean, just because the play calling of Doug Peterson, Nick Foles, this backup, that run they were on.
Well, forgot about it.
It was fun for a lot of NFL fans. You know why, Whitey. Well, you know why it was
that
fun.
One could
come on, everybody knows who we were rooting for that day.
That one was almost set up to be one of the most iconic Brady games, too.
And the Philly special, too, in the Super Bowl, Foles catching that.
Are you definitely not sending? Last year's?
Last year's. I'm leaving.
And the Seahawks over the Broncos, too, that one. It was the first score.
Honestly,
safety.
Maybe the Ravens light shutting out against the Niners. Like, come on. The light shutout changed the whole narrative.
Or the Ravens
the game.
Over Kerry Collins.
Yeah.
And the Giants.
What about Trent Dilfer in 2000?
Yeah. 888-957-9570. Which game, Super Bowl game, are you sending into the footballist future to save the sport? And coming up, hey, you know what? John Elway finally got something right. It's Whitey, Nash, and Tommy. Saturday Spectacular, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
You got the Saturday Spectacular with Whitey, Nash, and Tommy. If you can't handle our heat, go run and tell your mommy. 95.7 The Game. You guys are a lot of fun to hang out with here, and this is just such a fun week, right, to be a football fan.
Wow.
That's right.
A spectacular season. Can you believe the 49ers are actually going to the Super Bowl?
Still no. Crazy. Still can't believe it.
What do you think is the most surprising aspect of this? Very surprising season. To me, it's the fact that the offensive line has been in tatters for much of the year, and they've still been relatively consistent and productive.
I can have a list going on for the rest of this show. Everything about this team surprised me. The fact that they're rewinding the sport of football and their quarterback's throwing the ball at 15 times in two games.
17 times. 17 completions.
17 completions in two games, and both those wins were blowouts. The offensive line injury, all the injuries on the defensive side of the ball, in the secondary, the front seven, everywhere.
Yeah, to me, probably the secondary is the biggest one that pops out, just because you got to think that going into the year, that was the biggest question mark. What would Akilah Witherspoon be?
Yeah, we knew that defensive line could be really special, right?
Yeah, and I think that's helped, obviously, the secondary a ton. But I think one thing that was important to me, and being invested in the draft side of the football world, is can this team develop? Can this team develop talent? There's something about drafting a guy, but we haven't seen this necessarily, like Solomon Thomas and Akilah Witherspoon at times, take these steps in their career. Well, you're starting to look around, and these guys are turning, not them specifically, but other guys, the depth, right? They've all stepped up. It's been easy for
Mosley.
What will destroy a team, no matter how good you are? Injuries. Well, the 49ers have had a ton of them, and they're playing in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That doesn't come because they've had an easy schedule or certain guys are making plays. It shows to the depth and the balance of that team. And it's something you couldn't predict that.
You
couldn't predict it.
Yeah, I thought Jimmy Ward was going to have a bounce back year, but I also thought Dante Pettis was going to.
Tommy was on the Dante Pettis trend. I think you're still kind of riding it. Are you finally giving
it? No, I mean, it's the kind of proof is in the pudding at this point.
You know,
what am I really
supposed
to say?
Against the Rams, he made a great catch in the back of the end zone. He was out of bounds, but remember that catch?
And then he had the game-winning catch against the Steelers. They drew that play up for him.
It was wide open, right?
Yeah, but it still was like, okay, they want him involved a little bit.
That's honestly a valid point.
Yeah.
I think another big thing that we're probably not talking about enough is just the rise of Deebo Samuel.
Wow.
I mean, this guy is looking like he's on his way to stardom. It looks like he's capable of being a number one receiver in this specific game.
And especially because Dante Pettis, the detractors would be like, well, they don't know what they're doing drafting receivers. They drafted Dante Pettis, and he looks like a bust.
And
so Deebo Samuel might have been a waste.
Yeah.
And then they draft this other guy, and he's injured. So, and then, like you said, Deebo Samuel's kind of making you forget about Dante Pettis, making you forget about Jalen Hurd, any other receiver possibly they
and
have.
And they're probably going to draft a receiver again. I mean, addition of Emmanuel Sanders obviously opened up a lot of these things. It's all reliant on each other. But, I mean, nobody saw any of these things coming. Mm. And it's kind of funny to sit here now on January 25th and talk
about
even
George Kittle repeating, right? Was George Kittle a one and done without Jimmy Garoppolo? Was he balling out on a bad team? And he's still probably this team's best player.
Yeah, and what is the highest number of catches he had in college? Like 22 or
nothing?
Something?
Yeah. Tight ends by far, this is off subject, but by far the hardest position to scout except for quarterback.
Yeah, I think Kolsky yesterday when you were filling in for Damon, he pulled up that Kittle never had a season over 500 yards, just goes to show. Which is ironic, though, because Iowa is a school that typically always uses two tight ends.
Yeah, and they produce tight ends. Look at some of the guys across
Noah
the league.
Noah Fant, TJ Hawkinson.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Whitey, Nash, and Tommy on 95.7 The Game. We've also been seeking your help here in figuring out what is the best Super Bowl, because we found out that in the future there is no football, and we got a time machine thing. It's pretty complicated. Tim Jordan arranged, he put together some kind of time machine. So we got to take a recording of a great Super Bowl into the future to save football. How about this suggestion? Peyton Manning's fourth, second as a Bronco, all defense. Cam Newton afraid
here?
To get hit.
The one here?
Even the great Manning as a game manager tells the story of now. That's from Ted in Oakland.
Sort of, but there was an iconic play I'll never forget. The fake dive, and Peyton rolled out, and it took him about 10 seconds to run from under center all the way around and cross the pylon.
To me, that game, I just think of Von Miller, the dominance that he
it
was
told
in that
nothing
game. I mean,
about it, the history of the NFL, though.
Von Miller in that game, that was one of the best individual performances, maybe, if we're talking about individual performances that we can show to save football, that Von Miller would probably be up there.
And there's iconic moments in that game, like when Cam Newton didn't want to dive on the fumble. Like, sure, but these are things like we'll always remember, but they don't help. I think the point we're trying to make here, how does it help tell the story of football? Like, you're 50 years from now, 100 years from now, you're sitting down with an alien, per se, and you say, sit down and watch this. This tells you what the NFL was like in the 2000s, in the 90s, the 80s, whatever it was.
I think you could send that game, that Super Bowl that was here, into the future, into a footballless future, and people would watch that, and even if they knew nothing about football, they'd say, Carolina's play calling was horrible.
This Peyton Manning guy sucks. He's the Trent Dilfer.
Their OC? He's got to be fired.
It's almost a different question. If we're going to put a game that shows this era of football.
Just overall, what best tells the story of the NFL?
I'm putting it into the modern era of football.
You can't,
if we're going to be looking to the future, I think that would be the Eagles-Patriots, right? Where it's like 500 yards of offense on each side of the football, no defense.
You keep bringing that up today.
It's a big day for me.
One play at the perfect moment. And why didn't Malcolm Butler play? He would have made one play. There was no stops. It's a whole other show for another year, probably years ago, but it's fine.
Nash, how much grief do you catch around here for being a Patriot fan?
A lot of grief.
Yeah.
But in fairness,
a lot of it,
Sure.
From my dad, from everybody.
Yeah. I mean, growing up in LA, we obviously did not have a team. We never had a team growing up, at least in my lifetime. So obviously being a young football fan, I got a chance to play football at a very young age, which nowadays seems unheard of.
Being a bandwagon fan at a young age.
Nash could spin it, by the way. That's my understanding.
I was the smallest kid on the team. They put me at quarterback. Yeah. I started watching football. That was the year Brady took over. And me, I've always been an underdog. Brady was an underdog then.
Who's your NFL comp?
My NFL comp?
Drew Brees. Who's most like? What NFL player is most like?
Honestly, I'm like a Taysom Hill. I'm a gadget guy.
Oh, man.
I will say my best year was in Pop Warner. I threw for 10, rushed for 6.
Nice.
He kept his stats from Pop Warner. For the people out there that are getting to know Nash, that's the perfect way to describe him.
I will say
that's a good season.
It really was.
I wish I had my Pop Warner fantasy league that year, but I didn't.
And I was kind of like Jimmy G.
He went off the board before you could grab him. Whitey.
Yes, he did.
Whitey, we were in the wishbone. We weren't throwing a lot, but I was getting touchdowns. I will say this though,
he's an eye guy.
The best way to surmise who I am as a person is an NBA comparison. It's Patrick Beverley.
I'm NBA an underdog. Comparison.
I'm an underdog. I'm gritty. I probably overreact. But I always got something to say.
Probably played basketball with Nash a couple times.
Who's your comp in the NFL? As an individual. It doesn't even need to be about the sport.
Oh, it'd probably be Josh McCown. I'm just being honest.
What did we see the other week? Josh McCown was dunking on dudes in a tournament, right?
Yeah, there's some clips coming out of him playing basketball. I was showing Nash it. I was like, oh my gosh, he's like dunking on people, pulling up from way downtown, splashing threes, and it was from like a couple months ago or something.
Yeah? All right. Yeah, one thing you and I have in common, and I realize nobody cares, but Pop Warner quarterback.
It was great. You played out there in Vallejo.
Vallejo Vikings, sure.
Any Vallejo products in the NFL?
Mike Merriweather, remember him, a linebacker?
Oh, I do.
He was really good.
Wow.
There was a guy way back named Dick Bass is before my time.
What a name.
Yeah.
That's a fake name, too.
That's a fake name.
Great running back. On the Chilton Autobody text line, if you did the same exercise with baseball, there would be no game where the aliens would not say, this is boring.
Honestly, it's probably more boring in recent years than it was back in the day, right? I mean, the Babe Ruth days, they were just hitting domers every game. I mean, baseball's obviously changed.
Pitchers were throwing like all complete games, right? And it just moved along.
Yeah. Now it's all analytics and sign stealing. And anyway,
I would love to hear the audience though. The 707's tapped in earlier, but they're not tapping in enough. 888-957-9570.
What's your pro comp? Who are you in the NFL?
we don't want to go on that rabbit hole. But what I do want to do.
Did you keep your stats in Pop Warner?
Ladies and gentlemen, please call in. What's the Super Bowl that you would use to explain the history of football? And I think there's a million different answers. There's no correct answer.
It just kind of shows the football fan that you are.
There's no right answers, Whitey, but there is a few wrong ones. And last one was one of them.
You guys both picked great ones. Yeah, that was a great, the Rams, Titans.
Yeah.
That was from an era when you had a lot of surprise teams getting into the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. You know, for a long time, especially in the 70s and 80s, you know, you had the Dolphins and the Steelers and the Raiders and the Cowboys. But then after we had the salary cap, you had this period where, who's going to be in there? We don't know. So I'm wondering.
The evolution, to an extent for the Super Bowl, where it's like, if you hear about how good the Chiefs are all year long, by the time you get to the Super Bowl, because you have those fans out there, right, that are just like, I want to root for the underdog. There's something to be said for that. That's why, you know, again, going back to it, but like the Eagles game, not even to troll, that was a reason why I think people liked that game so much, that having that underdog mentality where people probably are like, yeah, the Chiefs all along, they knew that they're going to be here at this point, where you might see some 49er fans come out of nowhere because it's like nobody really expected them. You could easily start the season and say, this team's a 4-win team. And not a lot of people would probably be like, yeah, I understand that. And if you said, this team's going to the Super Bowl, you're probably like, yeah, man, that's crazy. Yeah. You're crazy.
Well, we're getting way over our skis here, but do you think either of these teams, I guess the Chiefs have already proven because they've been a really good team for a long time. Are these teams, what they're doing, is it repeatable? I mean, is there a good chance that the 49ers will be back next year or at least close to it next year?
I think yes, for a couple reasons. I think Andy Reid is a fantastic coach. Obviously, what they've built in Kansas City, sustained success. Plus, obviously, Patrick Mahomes. I think we can all look at him as the guy to take over for the Tom Brady's, the Peyton Manning's, the Drew Brees's out there. And then here in the Bay Area, you got to have a lot of faith and just specific love for Kyle Shanahan, even if Jimmy Garoppolo's attached that or not, plus the defense, Nick Bosa looks like he's going to be one of the best defensive players in the league for a long time. And then you have Kyle Shanahan calling plays on the offensive side of the football. That sounds pretty nice for a lot of teams.
Nash, how would you answer this? Is Kyle Shanahan, is he an offensive genius, creative genius, or is he just running a few variations of what his dad did?
I think it's actually a combination of he is somewhat of an offensive genius, and he's smart enough to be aware to take what the defense gives him. Like, I think his biggest strength is finding out what the defense's weakness is or what they're trying to stop and obviously catering the other direction.
And just attacking it. And purposely.
It's almost Belichickian, isn't it?
Yeah, it's abusive. Like, I think the guy Sorensen, the linebacker, the safety, I think Kyle Shanahan's sitting in the lab right now, has us on in the background, and is going, this is my guy
like,
that I'm going after.
I'm glad
after.
Tommy brought that guy because when he sees the
eye. No, he's probably like, yeah, I'm about to get a text from my guy Kyle right here, and he's going to say, Tommy, don't say that on air, man. Like, I thought we had that.
Because Andy Reid's listening, too. But you're right. I mean, Hunter Sorensen, if he's sitting alone up top, there comes that infamous Kendrick Bourne post route we've seen time and time again.
He's just such a technician as an attacker.
I can see Kyle Shanahan working on his X's and O's and his game plan. Then he hears us talking about, wow, that Super Bowl thing. Wow, hold on. I got to put my work down for a minute. And see
or he's like, Nash really thinks he's a Taysom Hill?
Yeah.
He's a Taysom Hill?
We got to get that guy out on the field if he can do that.
888-957-9570. BBG in Fremont, 95.7 game. What's up, BBG?
Hey, what's up, you guys? You know, I was thinking about it. I'm a Steelers fan in California, pretty outnumbered, but we're everywhere, so that part doesn't matter to me. But as far as sending the aliens to Super Bowl, I'm going to go to that Steelers-Cardinals game in 08. I just think about the storylines of Jerome Bettis, you know, one of the greatest, and the team's pushing for him and fighting for him to get his Super Bowl. And then also, you know, young Ben Roethlisberger just trying to prove that he's one of the greatest, and that he can get them over the hump. But that's what I'd send to him.
BBG, that Santonio Holmes, to me, it's the greatest catch I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you. Again, as I said earlier,
over the David Tyree?
Yeah, the Tyree was kind of fluky. In my opinion. It's a great catch. They're all there's all.
Wow, we haven't even mentioned that. That
somebody on the Giants.
The Giants one. Yeah, that's that might actually go to the top for me. If not second to the top, just because of every the Plexico Burris play, even him wide open in the
shooting
end zone.
His leg a couple years later. Yeah,
and the Tyree. Yeah, wow. That's a good call.
It's funny that you mentioned that catch was fluky. Did you ever see that SNL skit about that play? That he comes off the sideline and he's waiting to go check into the game, and some dude's chewing all this gum and smacks it on his helmet, and then you see the live play, and it's almost like the football was caught because there was gum there. So I'm going to go ahead and call that. We need to go check the tapes.
Yeah, to say fluky is probably I don't give him enough credit, but it was a little.
It was heroic in my opinion. It was special. That needed to happen for the sake of football fans.
888-957-9570. The coach in Los Altos joins us. Hello, coach. What's up?
Hey guys, great show. And it's a great question because, first of all, if there was no football, life would kind of suck.
I agree.
Well said.
Agreed, man.
In fact, I'm a little worried after Sunday what the hell I'm going to do with my time. Mm.
Draft season, baby. Watch that film. Pop that thing in there.
Sunday brunch, coach.
When I think about, I was thinking about your question about the Super Bowl that I would use. And I think I would use Super Bowl I.
Wow.
And the reason I would use Super Bowl I is there was this upstart league called the AFL, and they're trying to prove themselves against the NFL and, the predecessor of AFC and NFC. And it was Packers-Chiefs. And the Chiefs of the AFL got their butts beat by the Packers. I'm a diehard Niner fan, but I love this because I think you could use it to describe – that games aren't won in the first half. It was a 14-10 score at the half. The Pack was up. They had scored with, I think, a touchdown and a running play. And Lenny Dawson had thrown a touchdown pass for the Chiefs. Wow. And so it was 14-10, close. And then in the second half, the Pack just whomped them. They had a pick six against Lenny Dawson. And then they had another couple of touchdowns. I think Pitts ended up with two and McGee ended up with two. So you had 28 points of offense. You had 7 points from a pick six. And they blew it out in the second half. So it takes four quarters. I think you could tell a story about how amazing NFL games are.
Coach, is this all from the top of your head, or did you have to go back and recap this? This is phenomenal.
Yeah, we're getting a true breakdown of Super Bowl I here on 95.7 The Game.
Well, I mean, when you think about all these games, it's extraordinary the history, and I do think if you took a snapshot, like last year's was terrible, and I would think that if you use last year's, they would move over to tennis or something. I mean, it just wouldn't be. I don't think you're going to create fans from last year's game.
Yeah,
and there's others you can use. I mean, the Patriots one, not pandering to the Patriots fans, but that comeback against Atlanta was unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And it does tell the story of, again, you just never give up. You never say die, and it's not done till it's done. But I think Super Bowl I, you could tell a pretty darn good story of the NFL.
Thank you, Coach. Yeah, Bart Starr. By the way, on the text line, and also Mr. Spadoni points out, we may have confused a couple of Steelers Super Bowls on the text line. The Bus and Young Ben were Super Bowl 40. Santonio Holmes was Super Bowl 43. So
gotcha.
The Santonio Holmes catch and the win over the Cardinals, that was probably the one where they beat the Seahawks. That was not much of a
the coach talking about Super Bowl I to me, it just makes me think, like, I'm an NFL films guy. That's how I feel like I know my NFL history is watching NFL Network and NFL films. I just think of the Vince Lombardi. I need a seal here. Him on the chalkboard, and then you got to run, right through the. That's just inject that.
And you're wearing the same hat as him when you're watching.
Yeah, yeah. And it just, I'm getting up and I'm standing in front of the TV and I'm bouncing up and down. I need a seal here.
Think what Jay, we need that sound. That we need would that sound, have been Jeff. If in the 100th season, if we'd have had the Chiefs and the Packers
the State
in the Super
Farm Bowl
again. We almost did. A couple of factoids from that Super Bowl. You've probably read this yourself. There's a famous picture of Lenny Dawson, either after the game or at halftime of the Super
Bowl.
Smoking a cigarette, drinking, I believe, a Fresca.
Yeah, not Old English?
Yeah, and then the second half kickoff, they had to replay because that game was on NBC and CBS. And one of them wasn't back in time commercial. It's a freaking Super Bowl in the second half kickoff. They had to go, we got to do it over.
That right there tells a story of football. It's all based around TV revenue.
Yeah.
I mean, that's sports in general, right?
Yeah. How about this? Best catch ever, Mario Manningham from the 510.
Along the sidelines, too.
That
right?
was David Tyree 2.0.
Yeah.
And who was it? Remind me, Tommy, in the Seattle Patriots Super Bowl when he was on his back.
Jermaine Kearse.
So Jermaine Kearse. Yeah. I really thought to myself,
I had a prop of Jermaine Kearse Super Bowl MVP. One of my favorite props every year is I'll bet like a couple guys off the board of like $10 on a Super Bowl MVP.
Julian Edelman you got last year, right?
Yeah. I didn't have him. Ugh. I actually didn't have because he was high up there. So I'll take like a way off like a 40-1
I think
type of guy.
Stephon Gilmore.
And then I had Jermaine Kearse that year. He didn't do much in the game, but then he made that play to set them up. I was like, ah!
And the point I bring up that play is because it was like the trilogy of all the one plays that pretty much ended the Patriots season.
Yeah, every Super Bowl kind of has a flash in the pan. Like you look at the Philly special and things like that, and just even the Julian Edelman catch against Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
Like things like that always come up. So we got to start thinking. We got to start talking in the back of our heads if there is that one guy.
So and give it's us kind a of, wild one. Just go
I think
ahead,
it's Kendrick Bourne.
Really?
I think it's Kendrick. I think Kendrick Bourne.
You he's mean one play, play or
yeah,
he's
just one like just an interest. No, one play because I think that we know Kendrick Bourne for making the interception. I mean, excuse me, dropping a pass from time to time, making kind of a silly play, things like that. But if you look at kind of crucial and clutch moments this season, he's kind of been the guy Jimmy Garoppolo's gone to. He's kind of stepped up and flashed in big moments, and it wouldn't surprise me if he is that off the board guy that suddenly does something out of nowhere, and every NFL fan is instantly searching on Twitter who Kendrick Bourne is.
If I can add to this Kendrick Bourne stuff too, me and Tommy have been on his way for a while. There's even an infamous drop of me describing what type of player Kendrick Bourne is. Joe, do we have it?
He's an end zone finder. He's a ball grabber.
Says
it all.
He's a
right
ball
there.
Grabber.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah. Nash Solomon. Nailing it.
But he really is a guy that, like, he's a tone setter. I mean, in that game against Minnesota, if not for those three catches to start the game, maybe they're not flying with that type of momentum. Me and Tommy,
5 of 7, 57 yards and a touchdown set the tone for the playoffs.
Me and Tommy love momentum. We think that's like a big portion of sports, right? He's a guy that can really set the tone.
Hey, Nash Solomon and Tommy Call, what's going on with Matt Breida? How come we haven't seen?
Oh,
is it a ball security issue? Just Mostert just
I think it's
lapped him on the depth chart.
I think Kyle likes to ride the hot hand.
Sure.
And he rode Tevin last game because obviously Tevin was the guy in the Minnesota game that took over. Tevin's been in the big games. Tevin is Kyle Shanahan's guy.
Yeah.
Raheem Mostert is the guy that's on the bed of reaching stardom, at least just for the playoffs. I mean, I think he's averaging 100 yards in his last 8 games.
It's interesting, but that people love to talk about Kyle Shanahan. He loves riding the hot hand. To me, it doesn't necessarily, and this is kind of a take I've sat on, that doesn't necessarily add up because a lot of times, think about it, like Matt Breida's been that hot hand. If he's riding the hot hand every single week, why do guys like Tevin Coleman get the first 10 snaps in the playoffs and have one of his best games of the year?
I don't think he's afraid to change the guys.
It's constantly switching it up, so I don't think you take any of these guys off the board. I think Whitey brought it up. The big X factor reason that maybe we haven't seen Matt Breida was because of the fumble.
Right.
But early in the season, this guy looked like he might be one of the best running backs in the NFL.
I remember sitting right here, and it was the morning of the 49ers-Rams game, the first one, and I remember talking about he's averaging 5.8 yards a carry or whatever it is. He's threatening some records.
He's just, I think Kyle Shanahan, he's just the mind games guy. Too. As much as he doesn't get enough credit for it, this the playing the mind games, making everybody think that Jimmy Garoppolo's playing really well right now. Well, I'm going to run it 47 times. And then, well, you're going to have to pass to beat Aaron Rodgers. All right, I'm going to run it 45 times.
That's one of my
favorite. The game's going to be out of hand by the halftime.
One of my favorite answers Kyle Shanahan gave to any question this year. You know, so often in a certain situation, we sit there and we tweet or we're talking to our friends. Oh, they're going to go to so-and-so. Oh, they're going to go to Kittle. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to look for Kittle in a certain situation. But Kyle Shanahan says, you know, we don't drop a play for any one guy. It's not like, get the ball to him this time. That's not the way it works.
And so that's why this game, I think we're going to have to look at some, just keep it in the back of your head because of Super Bowl history. If that's what we're talking about, we're bringing up all these. Everybody, like, if David Tyree didn't make that play, would he be, you know, no one would know his name.
That was his only play he's ever made in his career.
Yeah, and so things like that. So we could have to look for a guy like that. What if it is a Dante Pettis or something like that? I mean, I would be doing some victory laps. I'd be feeling pretty good about
myself.
What
do you guys think of this here on the Chilton Autobody text line? The Harbowl is the perfect Super Bowl to explain the NFL. Storylines everywhere. Last game for a Hall of Fame.
Ray Lewis, right?
Controversial blackout, goal line stand, mediocre quarterback having the career year. on a contract year, career game.
Was it 9 touchdowns, year. No interceptions or something like that for Flacco to get that money?
Yeah, and the unreal deep balls he threw throughout the whole playoff.
That's an all-time. People love to poke their fun at Flacco, but for him to do that in the playoffs like that was awesome, in my opinion.
And
like,
I know, I was like, wow. I know our board op Joe still lives and dies by this take that Joe Flacco is, in fact, elite. We're going to go ahead and decline to answer that because I think we all know the answer to that. The thing about Joe Flacco in that Super Bowl run and trying to use that specific Super Bowl to define the history of the NFL, I think it's so flawed. I mean, Jim Harbaugh watched
the blackout was just insane.
The blackout's already enough. Like, that doesn't.
Insane.
People would be like, why is there an extended halftime in this sport? What's going on? Is this a ritual? And why are there two brothers coaching? Is there like some inbred going on in the NFL? Yeah. I mean, there's just so many factors.
Bad one to send to the future, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, the best.
We got Nash Solomon and Tommy Colin. I'm Whitey Gleason here. It's a Saturday Spectacular. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being with us. Coming up, rules are rules, but we need new ones, and we need them now. Coming up on 95.7 The Game.
If you look at this play, what we're trying to get is a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.